The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Loveline, the world's therapy couch since 1984. Loveline, Dr. Drew Pinsky, medical doctor, philosopher, philanthropist, certified addiction specialist, the king of transformational media.
Mike
Catherwood, a former addict, current fitness guru, the ringmaster of a psychosexual addictive personality big top.
Loveline.
And a cavalcade of ladies who just happen to be dating, relationship, and life experts. Who are not only smart, they're pretty damn good to look at.
Night after night.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yes. Get on with it.
Yes. Don't hurry or anything, guys. Yes. Do it again with your mic on.
You live.
Yes, bitch!
Yeah. Thanks. Look, me. Who's your daddy, bitch? Oh, you live. Yeah!
It's not as if you guys don't know that we're starting the show.
Test. There we go.
Yeah. I certainly was part of the casual entry into the show because we were talking about
important stuff.
We were talking about important things before, so it wasn't like we just were lollygagging around and not quick to get into it. But why was I the only one kind of sprinting towards the end to kind of start the show? You and Emily still. Might as well be have been having your bar mitzvah in the back of the room.
We were eating cake.
We were in the room first.
Yeah.
Anderson, would you like to support
Drew
me on the argument?
Touching buttons and stuff.
Wait. I came in, turned the thing down, turned the air down.
I understand.
I didn't know my mic wasn't going to work, so I had to find a new mic, plug it in.
I had sat down and I'm like, yes. All right. Woo.
Oh, yeah, and you and Emily are in the back. God damn it!
We were talking about the Torah.
Mike, you two are about 8 seconds late. Everyone was a little bit late tonight. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, I know. No, I said it's not as if I wasn't part of the casual entry into the studio.
And it's my fault, too, because, I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. It's our last night in the studio here, and there's a lot of crazy stuff. And I realized that there's a myriad of mics there, only two of which are plugged in. So it's like musical mics over here. I apologize.
Did you have, like, 9 guests on your podcast?
Zero
guests.
What'd you do? What'd you talk about?
I talked
sex.
About sex. I talked about I went to like 18, you would have loved it. I went to like 18 porn award shows last week, sex conferences.
I that sounds awesome on paper. That's hell on earth for me.
No,
well,
I
funny,
gave away
funny you would mention on paper because that is the open forum tonight.
Yes.
Sexual fantasies that look great on paper that go bad when you do them.
Oh, okay. Right. I had a whole one prepared
and
for everybody.
I have to say that. My podcast was kind of awesome tonight, and it'll be out tomorrow on iTunes and Podcast One if people want to check it
beautiful.
Out. That's
beautiful.
All I got to say. Sex
so, so sec- because I actually had – I went through like this whole thing on Reddit and prepped this big open forum for this evening.
Oh,
but,
no. Should we do that?
Well, no. We can do my
– Well, if it's on Reddit,
if it's better, what is it?
Sunday we'll do this.
It will be good forever, and it's not – it wasn't my personal thread. I just stumbled across relationship-based Reddit stuff, and I found one – It was actually my friend Thomas Yu. He is the blackest Korean ever, and he sent this to me because it was Loveline. It was the best, your most George Costanza reason for ending a relationship.
Oh,
and
yeah.
At first, I was like, "Oh God, here we go."
We did some of that last night,
and then
I
started reading them, and people were like, "I couldn't believe it."
All right, Sunday.
I dumped a girl because she dumped her fries and mustard.
Didn't you have a thing about chewing or something? Was that you?
Yeah, but that's not really that. I don't feel like I'm out of this world.
Like with her mouth open?
She chewed like a barbarian. I was like, why can't this is over?
Right. It's not hot. It doesn't
well,
turn you on.
Regardless, that's still one of those
There's
kinds of
a scene in Conan the Barbarian where he's drunk and he's explaining how he has to destroy everything that comes in. And he's eating a chicken leg. That's what she looked like. I must destroy everything come my way.
How long were you date? Was it a first date? Or you
yeah.
Just...
And I was coked out and I walked out.
I walked out. After you had the appetizers?
Literally walked out of the restaurant and walked away.
Didn't pay the bill or anything?
No.
Because of her chewing?
No, and we worked together.
She has no idea.
And we worked together.
Well, that's not a George Costanza type of thing. No, not at all.
You were, right. Wow. You worked together, too. So the next day, was it
the way I handled it was Costanza-esque. But I don't, like, I don't feel like that's a crazy reason to not be in a relationship, especially with a chick. Like, she ate like a goddamn barbarian.
Right, I understand, and you wouldn't maybe. I guess it's awkward to say. Can you just keep your mouth?
No, you're right. It is. I mean, the way I handled it was absolutely
you're not your proudest moment.
Inexcusable. That was terrible what I did. But I was also really high on coke.
Why don't we save Sunday for that one?
Okay.
Oh, right. For that one.
We,
okay.
we got a lot to talk about here. I am so sorry to kind of bloviate. Emily Morris is here from sexwithemily.com. That is the podcast she was referring to. You have the same title. It'll be up, her new episode uploaded tomorrow.
You can also find me on Twitter, Sex with Emily.
Yeah, at Sex with Emily. And also the same name on Instagram.
Instagram.
And
Facebook.
We got so much to get to. Sex acts that sound good on paper but are not good in actual practice. That's actually a fantastic open forum. That is our open forum later tonight. Now we take your calls regarding anything you want. 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Duke crapped his pants on the air on our other radio show today.
It wasn't exactly on the air.
You walked in to the studio having just cleaned up your butt and thrown away your underwear.
Yes.
Therefore, it
was during a commercial break, but it was a short one.
Mike wishes the next time that you would do it on air.
All right, next time. I'll up the ante.
I've never done that, which is shocking. I've never actually been on the air and done it.
Can we talk about your show for real quick? So it's
the KBC show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys, I mean, daytime's 3 hours.
Yeah.
I saw that in like 3 hours. You guys just talking about everything in the world?
Pretty much.
Like, that's awesome.
It's actually somehow more unstructured than this show.
It is. You taking callers and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but no one calls.
Well, now wait, the whole thing lit up when you offered those Hollywood Bowl tickets. Yeah. Is that all that was?
I think so.
People want free stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun, you guys.
And there's a lot of Mexicans in LA.
It was fun. And we have good guests.
I've come to the conclusion, if you said at Dodger Stadium today, with admission and your ticket, we're giving you away AIDS. And my people would be around the block. All of Echo Park would be filled.
People
with
just want free.
Hey,
they
dog,
want sweat,
it's free,
but...
fool. Hello, Rachel. How's Ross?
Pardon?
Nothing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Am I on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have a question. I have dated women exclusively my entire life. I'm 24. I started dating when I was 18. Suddenly, I'm getting crushes on men, like biological men, not transgendered men, because I've done that, too. And I don't know, at first I was kind of worried, what would my friends think? And not really worried about that anymore because I realize I have good friends and they're not going to care. But I'm worried, is it fair to the guy? Am I just going to be disappointed sexually? Because these aren't like deep emotional crushes. Like I don't see myself like falling in love.
Right.
I kind of imagine this is what a straight girl feels like when she makes out with a girl for fun. Like, right. It's just
that's actually probably
have you been
analogy.
With a man before?
Never.
Okay. I mean, I think this makes sense. You're 24 years old. I mean, sex is a spectrum. You identify as lesbian, but if you want to, you know, see men sometimes, there's nothing wrong with that and just kind of experience it.
I also don't think that by virtue of, like, dating around, you're making anybody any promises. You know? Who are your friends if they're going to be angry for that? If you have a real curiosity and desire, I mean, wouldn't it be incredibly hurtful and hypocritical for your lesbian friends to kind of judge you for a certain lifestyle choice?
Yeah, I would think that, and that seems nice, but I've seen so many girls, like, get their heart broken by straight girls, so we're just, like, in the community, like, we're kind of, like, a little bit distrusting of bisexual girls.
Divisiveness between bisexual, lesbian, like,
by the
I
way,
get
if
it.
I'm a legit lesbian, like, I love women, I have relationships, long-standing relationships, I get how I'm very rubbed the wrong way by the girl who's like, when I was in college, you know, I totally kissed girls all the time. I get that. That makes a lot of sense. My point being, though, if Rachel's consistently having these feelings, wouldn't it be really sincerely hurtful to her for her friends, regardless of their sexual proclivity, to not want her to explore that?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And the guys, I mean, they'll be cool. I mean, you're trying it out. You're 24 years old. You're young. You're still exploring your sexual interests. I think it's totally fine. I have no problems with what, Drew? Do you have an issue?
No, you guys are covering it. I'm sitting here thinking there's a whole another sort of thing to get into, but I'm not sure if I want to.
Yeah. The butthole?
Well, like, why?
Did you say something about the sexuality of the men you're attracted to?
No.
They're straight?
Just like normal, great. Straight guys, I guess. But I mean, I'm worried about having sex with them because I'm not really interested in going on birth control, and I don't know a lot. I don't have a good relationship with my mom. I don't have any sisters. Like,
right. I think you just got to go out with them for dinner, see what happens.
Yeah, get some condoms and throw them at the guy. Yeah.
Yeah, skin condoms
make
are
it
my
rain
new favorite.
Condoms.
No, seriously, you use a condom, but I think you're tripping ahead. I think you you go out and you see how you have crushes on guys. You go out to dinner with someone or drinks and you see how you feel. And then if it leads to sex, you know, you use a condom. But it doesn't have to be this whole thing. I get why it is for you because you've only been with women. But if you're having these urges, I would say that they're not going to go away. You might as well try it out. It could just be a dinner. And then you'll feel like, I don't want to kiss them.
But
you never
know. Did you hear what she said the problem was, though? Other women get heartbroken. So in other words, the fear is not that she is just somebody flirting with, sort of diminishing the reality of their commitment to their community. But it's also taking someone away that they have great affection for, possibly. It's threatening.
Right.
Well, and I'm also worried. There's one more thing. I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time.
But no, it's all good.
Because I dated a guy briefly over the summer. We didn't have intercourse. We fooled around. I gave a blowjob. It was mediocre at best.
Yeah.
And
I feel like as soon as I was accessible to him, like, all of a sudden I'm way less hot. Like, when I'm just, like, an unobtainable lesbian, I'm, like, a 9 or maybe a 9.5. And then when I'm, like, just an accessible guy, I become
Let me cut to the chase. Yes, men are effed up.
Yes.
So yes, that's men.
Men want what they don't have, yeah.
Especially young men.
I don't know if men are effed up as much as men are way more simple. You know what I'm saying? Like you're using extreme, like, next level elite amounts of curiosity and introspection to analyze a young guy in his early 20s, which he's not like that. He's an animal.
Yeah.
You know, where it's not that you're accessible to it. It's just maybe that he got a blowjob once and he's like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe he had a girlfriend. You know.
Who knows?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean every guy's like that, but it happens sometimes. They don't call after they get the blowjob. But that doesn't mean you're, like, future tripping and all this stuff that we don't even know what's going to happen yet.
Thanks, Rachel.
Okay.
Hello, Marissa.
Hi. How's it going?
What's up?
So, this isn't recent, but me and my husband just started we've been married for, like, 5 years. Nice. And we just started playing with the booty. And he was really stoked about it. And we bought this butt plug, but we hadn't gotten to using it. And we have a 3-year-old. And he's always complaining. He's got a really high sex drive about how we don't have sex every day. And so he went upstairs, I guess, to masturbate. And I guess he used the butt plug.
Nice.
The lube was out with the butt plug. And I asked him, why is my butt plug out? And he got really defensive. And
Can I stop him? Where did your 3-year-old come into play? Like,
I just mean because we don't get to have sex as much as we used to.
The child was around. Yeah. Okay. I was worried. I was like, uh-oh, is this a binky that I don't want to know about?
I got to know what his response was. It's not your butt plug.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, like, you know, that's kind of my toy, and I want to know what you're doing with it, you know? And he's like, well, I was masturbating and trying to get off, and it didn't work. And I asked him, well, do you want me to, like, do that for you? Or, like, you know, and he just got really defensive and basically got quiet and said he didn't want to talk about it.
All right. That's it.
Probably embarrassed.
It's his me time.
Yeah.
Time out. Not far be it from me to not defend a guy in his me time.
I'm just saying, you know, those guys, the people that make me undies, now it's me butt plug.
Right.
I feel like Marissa and her husband have been together. They've been married 5 years. They have a child. They bought the butt plug together. It is initially when they purchased it, I'm pretty sure both were thinking that it was Marissa's.
It was for me.
It's not like she's saying, I need a detailed breakdown of when you insert, how you do.
No, it's just weird that he was defensive.
Like,
I agree.
Like, hey, I was just, that's kind of.
If he hadn't been defensive, she would not be calling.
Here's the deal. Here's my opinion.
Well, I just wonder if, like, maybe he's feeling ashamed of it. And
he probably is.
Oh, he is. Very much.
It's all about the way you approach it, Marissa. So if you're like, why is my butt plug out? Then he's going to be defensive. So I think it's the kind of thing you can bring it up again.
Everyone asked.
It's not closed for. I don't think it's a closed conversation. You see, babe, I want to hear about it. I think that's really hot. Let's talk about the experience. What was it like? You know, you got to bring it up again in, like, a way that's more positive.
I brought it up because I gave him a blowjob and I kind of rubbed down there with the lube and kind of, like, just rubbed around it. And I said, well, like, didn't you like that the other night? You came so quick. And he's like, you touched my butt? And I was like, I thought I did. You know, you're kind of hairy down there. I think that I was in that area doing it. And he's like, oh, well, I didn't know you were.
I say that to my Armenian friends about their armpits all the time.
I thought
I was in your armpit. Yeah.
Corolla's thing is like trying to find Santa Claus's mouth.
Down there, I told him if he wants me to. But I said, you know, if you want me to touch there, you know, I will. And he's like, I don't know, and just kind of left it at that.
Here's the thing, Marissa, you've been married a long time, but you're both very young. And he's maybe just not at the point yet where he's comfortable admitting to not only you but himself that, like, he's into that. Guys are weird about their buttholes. They really are.
I know.
Until you get to a certain age where it's like, you know how old men are always more crotchety than young people? Because they get to a certain age where they stop caring about social norms. Guys are like that about their butthole. I got to about 30 and I just stopped caring.
Old men in the locker room don't care about anything.
Well, okay. So maybe he's stunted in butthole growth. Yeah. But
I think you guys are going to grow into this.
I got to say, his defensiveness, though, I don't feel like it's justified because when you get married, your sex life, even your private one, your masturbation, it becomes community.
Yeah.
And Marissa has every right to be interested in how his masturbatory practices are going because that affects their sex life. So I feel like you got to remember that to guys. And I know that sounds bitch made and I'm selling out guys. But the truth is when you're in a marriage, a long-term committed relationship, your masturbatory practices also kind of affect your lady's sex life. So talk to your husband like that. And like Emily said, rearrange your delivery.
It's all about the delivery.
Yeah, and you should be good. Anyway, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Emily Morris joins us from sexwithemily.com, at sexwithemily on Twitter and Instagram. Dr. Drew is here, of course. I am Michael D. Catherwood. This is Loveline.
Hey, it's Emily from sexwithemily.com. 1 in 3 men suffers from premature ejaculation or just want to last longer in bed. Promescent is the only FDA-approved treatment for PE. It's a quickly absorbing delay spray that allows you to have the sex you want for as long as you want. Go to promescent.com to find out more.
One call is all it takes. 1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Start punching in the numbers now so you're ready when Loveline returns.
Tune in on Real Self-Knowledge.
When you're ready to buy a car, you got to go True Car because True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of $3,221 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these 3 easy steps. Dr. Drew?
First, download the True Car mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, second, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings.
Yes. And third,
it's simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the True Car certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience.
Some features not available in all states with True Car. You can save time, save money, and never, ever overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the True Car mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
That's TrueCar.com.
Hey, Loveline listeners. You get to bathe in her wisdom every week on this show. But did you know that you could soak up even more of her magic in her very own podcast every week?
Yes!
Topics include waiting for sex, orgasms, hand jobs, and a few others.
Sex with Emily. Now that sounds like a good idea, doesn't it?
What kind of psychosis is that?
Listening to the podcast, I mean. Yeah, that.
I'm okay with that because I'm open.
Go to podcastone.com now and get in line.
Woo! Woo! So good!
That's podcastone.com.
Yeah, buddy, 1-800-LOVE-191, the number. Hello, Eddie. Eddie, thank you for calling Loveline.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Good. Okay, my son, well, he's my stepson. He's 11. His father was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
When
you say was, is he dead?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Did he die from his drinking?
No, he died on an ATV accident. Went up this hill too steep, and it rolled down and crushed him.
While he was drinking?
I'm sure he probably was,
right.
But
yeah, of course.
I don't know. I wasn't there. But so some of his aunts and uncles are alcoholics. So my question is, what are the odds or chances of my son becoming an alcoholic when he gets older?
Very good question.
Yeah. Well, generally speaking, it's roughly about 50% per child.
Okay.
except there are some exceptions to that. There are certain situations where it's more likely. What's his ethnic heritage?
That I don't know.
North American Indian, particularly the southern sort of tribes like the Cherokee, that is a pretty heavy genetic burden. We see it then it's much more likely than 50%. But on average, you either get it or you don't. Half the kids get it, half the kids don't get it.
Okay. Now, the thing I'm having trouble with understanding with alcoholism or with the alcohol gene, if he drinks one or two when he's older, or is it going to be a lot, you know, over a, you know, year's time, then he becomes an alcoholic?
It's a switch that has to get thrown. And so something has to sort of motivate you. Usually something motivates the excessive use before the switch gets thrown, before they lose control. And that something is usually childhood trauma. Now, if you've been raised in an alcoholic family, that just by itself.
Where his dad died.
Yeah, that's sufficient trauma in and of itself if he has that genetic potential.
But to kind of gauge how precipitously it might come on, it's really hard to do, Eddie, because
some people explode fast.
Speaking from personal experience, some people, it's overnight. It's like as soon as they put it to their lips, it's poison.
That's the unusual. What happens, but that's not the usual thing.
In fact, you know, Drew and I have both met people who they didn't really start even heavily drinking until their 40s. And they partied in high school and did the, but it never really.
And some of that is their particular genetic makeup. Sometimes it's the genetic makeup and their particular psychological and what we call affect regulatory environment or interpersonal environment. So there's a lot that goes into how it expresses itself.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Your kid will know if he has it or not. He'll be able to tell you, how old is he?
He's 11 right now.
A little young, but in a couple of years, he'll be able to say whether he thinks he's got it. And other alcoholics can see it with unbelievable accuracy.
Well, and Eddie, thank you for the call, man. And you sound like a really concerned stepdad, and that's really nice of you, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Drew, I have a question. Mm. You're right. Of course, his son will know whether or not, but isn't there going to be a delay for him to be able to actually admit that, though?
Might be.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends how sort of comfortable he is with the topic. I mean, some kids can go, oh, yeah, I know. I can tell. I'm different. I got this thing, and I know I got to be careful. Other kids will go, yeah, I know I got it. Screw you if I'm already so. If I'm so messed up, I'm going to enjoy it. You know, it's that kind of thinking.
I was one of those kids where it was like I kind of had these preconceived notions that I was going to be a good guy. I was going to live up to some kind of expectation that society, my parents, and everyone had for me. And then once I realized, like, A, I'm pretty damaged. B, I'm genetically gifted with this tendency and this capability to drink a crazy amount. And I love it and all this stuff. Then once I took that all in, I was like, well, then screw everything.
Right.
I was just kind of – my whole anger towards the world just went into hyper mode, you know? Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, Mike and Drew?
What's up?
So I've been with my wife for 10 years. We've been married for about a year and a half. When I first met her, you know, she had some depression problems, and she was taking a lot of Wellbutrin. And, you know, over time, she kind of got off of it. She did exercise, and her diet helped a lot. And then about 3 months ago, our dog died, and she had a really, really bad, like, bad break at work, like, just a lot of stuff happening, and she kind of started getting depressed again, and, you know, she hadn't been eating really well or exercising a lot. She didn't really have any motivation, and when I tried to, you know, find what was nagging her, she kind of just withdrew a little, and she'd cry, and so I didn't want to press her, and I kind of gave her space, and over time, it just kind of got worse until the beginning of the year. She said she was just anxious all the time, and so she was moving out for a little bit. So I really didn't like that, but didn't have much of a choice. She just kind of dropped it on me at a time when I was really sick and I had a lot going on at work, and I couldn't really do much about it. So she moved out, and she was seeing her psychiatrist again, and she came and saw me today and said that she wanted a divorce and that she was missing, you know, that she loved me very much, but she was missing that spark, and that without that, she didn't feel it was fair to stay with me. And I'm confused, and I don't know if I should give her a divorce or if, you know, this is just the medication really, you know, she just started taking it again. I don't really know what to think.
Wow.
It does not sound like a medication thing at all. It sounds much more complicated than that, number one.
I got to say, first and foremost, let Emily and Drew handle all this because they're better at stuff like it. But I got to say, regardless of what it is, I'm really sorry, man. That is very rough.
How long have you been married?
We've been married a year and a half.
Oh, only a year and a half.
If it's,
I mean,
no kids?
I have two kids from a previous relationship, but they're much, much older. They're 14 and 10.
And why did that end?
And they love her, and she doesn't really want kids. And I told
why
her
did that end?
Didn't want them.
Why did that one end, the first one?
We had kids pretty young, and just it never really worked out between us.
Okay. How long were you married to her?
I was never married. We weren't married.
Okay. Why doesn't she have the kids?
Why doesn't she? No, she has the kids. Okay. My kids come and visit me on the
weekend. All right. Okay. Now, what if she were to say to you, I don't love you anymore?
My wife?
Your current wife.
I told her that I would give her what she wanted.
What if she said
like
to you,
fight for it.
What if she said to you, I don't love you anymore?
I would tell her that I still love her, though.
And I know, but I don't love, we're going to have to role play this a little bit. I don't love you. It's gone. I'm sorry. It's gone. I don't know why it's gone, but it is gone. There's no why. It's just my feelings. It's gone.
Okay. Can we go to counseling? Can we do anything?
We can do all kinds of things, but this feeling is not going to change, I can tell.
Then I don't – that's where I'm at, Drew, and I don't know what to do. I asked her, and she wasn't willing to do anything. She just said that
– this kind of thing doesn't really have much to be done, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You can ask why she got into this in the first place if she is so so fickle with her feelings. If you want to get a why – I would stay there. But to ask somebody why they feel the way they do is kind of an irrational question.
Yeah, but
they
she just said,
do.
You,
not unless you're beating her or something, right. Like, you know, but you're not. But it's go ahead.
Can I give you one more thing?
Yeah.
So she's mainly saying her sex drive has kind of went down.
Well, that's the medicine.
Over the past year.
That's the medicine.
And she's saying that the reason she doesn't want to be with me is because she doesn't feel she's providing me with sex, which obviously I understand she hasn't been wanting to, and I haven't been pressing her.
Well, that's BS.
Yeah, and now she's an SSRI because of Wellbutrin, maybe would not
have
been the same.
That her saying that to you is the male is the female version of the guy going, I just got demons, man, and I can't let you in. I don't want you to be hurt by my demons.
Right. I think it's reasonable if she has a therapist that you go in and get a third party to listen to what's going on. But this does not sound like a good thing 18 months into a marriage. Right.
I'm going to tell you from a non-professional opinion, just bro to bro. You don't have kids with this current wife?
Uh-huh.
You do not? Okay. You got to let this go. No matter how much you want to rearrange how she feels, if a woman's going to come to you out of nowhere and say, I've lost that spark and have all these excuses, you ain't getting it back. And you're just gonna delay the inevitable and prolong your pain.
Your misery, yeah.
So you just got to start planning for things now and get that divorce. That
it sounds
again,
like,
totally subjective opinion. I just wanted to throw that out there because.
No, and it sounds like it hasn't really been a walk in the park the whole time either.
Right.
Like it hasn't been that easy.
I would find
18
out what
months
was,
is
well,
like.
And I think she sounds like somebody who's sort of damaged.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
Not emotional.
All right, man. I'm really sorry, John. That's rough. 1-800-LOVE-191's the number. Emily Morse is here. She is from sexwithemily.com. And the exact same titled exact same titled podcast, the Sex with Emily podcast, at Sex with Emily on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a call if you have a question about anything. We're here for you. It's Love Line. Nope.
I'm Emily from SexWithEmily.com. GoodVibes.com has the best sex toys for men, women, and couples. Get the Pocket Rocket, the Rabbit Pearl, or the most powerful vibrator of all time, the Magic Wand. Use code EMILY for 15% off at GoodVibes.com.
One call is all it takes.
Exactly.
1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline's coming back.
Hi there, and get ready. This is Bonnie Fuller, president and editor-in-chief of HollywoodLife.com, and we have got a brand new podcast coming at you. We've got tons of amazing celebrity news and big star interviews.
This is Chloe Malas, the senior entertainment reporter for Hollywood Life, and I have to tell you, I'm most excited for Bonnie Fuller to mispronounce some of the biggest celebrity names, like Scarlett Johansson, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and then my favorite, Ariana Grande. Remember those, Bonnie?
Those are Canadian pronunciations.
Download a brand new episode every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
one 800 love 191 is the number. Give us a call here if you have a question or concern. I have a question for our guest co-host, a woman who joins us every single week, and we love her, Miss Emily Morris from SexWithEmily.com and the Sex With Emily podcast. Who would you rather have sex with, Dr. Drew or me?
Oh, my God.
After
really?
Just announcing that.
Must
crap
I choose?
I crap yeah, my pants. I crap my pants today, remember?
Oh, yeah. God. I it's really hard to, you know? Do I really like? I don't like choosing things like that. I would.
I know you
say
don't,
both.
And I
rather a, like in this moment or like.
Would you
well,
rather?
You have to. You have to factor in a lot of things. Drew
is married.
Yeah,
and I love his wife.
Oh, so am I. Thank you.
Oh, you're married too. I forgot. But I know his wife.
Yeah, and
but with you, I've no. No, I'm kidding. This is a bad question. Who would I rather have sex with?
And let's see. I want to put out there.
I want both. If I had to choose.
Yeah, Drew and I would wreck you. Drew and I would combo you. Yeah, just,
that's
you just
so
explode.
Hard. That's like choosing between like two desserts or something. Like, do I want cookies? Like, sometimes you know,
depends
like,
on your
I
mood.
Love
depends on your
cookies.
Mood.
It's like choosing
sometimes
two desserts.
You.
I
am
and
I
am
I the cookie or the cupcake?
You're the cupcake.
All right. Why am
yeah.
I the cupcake? Because I have come with extra frosting and I
exactly.
shoot because Drew doesn't shoot loads because he has
right.
no prostate.
So
right.
Because
that's exactly
no
what it is. But thanks for asking. You know,
as
it's
always,
a tough one. That's a really good question. I thought it was going to be something.
Rudy
else.
Was on Kevin and Bean yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And he was talking about how there's a Mexican bread here in the Southern California area that got a bunch of people sick, and it turned out there was like a hallucinogen in there,
yeah.
like an actual drug.
Yeah.
And it turns out poor, you know, Rudy was behind it. He didn't mean for that
no.
to get out in the streets. And I thought he said something. He's also working on a bunch of other desserts, and he's hoping that they don't, you know, leak out. But
such as?
His Tweeclair, which is an eclair filled with his patent-pending custom blend
Tweak.
Of methamphetamine cream.
And I thought, I love it.
I actually
That's
laughed
good.
At Rudy's own joke. Hello, hey, Jessica.
Wait, before you go, speaking of bread, there's a hashtag going around, Mike.
Yes.
Lonely Panera Bread Girl.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this.
So you have not done the shout-outs. So it's your turn.
Okay,
wait, I have not.
Since I'm going to be on your show tomorrow,
yes,
maybe I could think about this more and we could like have a debate put out to callers who I should sleep with.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Thank you, Emily.
You're welcome.
Emily
I'm
not only
topics.
Kills it every time she's on Loveline, she brings it, she carries it over to other radio shows.
I'm
not
producing
you.
Your show.
But shout-out to our friend, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Why am I this?
Hey, hold on. Hey, Jennifer in San Bernardino, Panera. What's up? Okay, now you can talk. We talked to this girl the other night. It was like a week ago. She called and she works the overnight shift by herself at Panera Bread in a given city. I mean, right. I've already said it, but you know, I don't want to give too much. But she and Drew and I were like, wait a second, wait. You're like a 20-something-year-old chick and you just spend the whole night by yourself mixing bread? Isn't that a little unsafe? She's like, yeah, it's company policy.
Oh, but she's like, I feel uncomfortable. I feel unsafe. Is something wrong with me? Something wrong with me?
And so yeah, I promised that I would say what's up to her every single show forever.
That's sweet.
Yeah. It might have been a little much. Hello, Jessica.
Hi. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm okay. Well, kind of. I'm in kind of a sticky situation. So, I was with this really controlling and emotionally abusive guy for a year, all last year. And then he kind of, like, abandoned me and kicked me to the curb right for my birthday in September. And then so I moved on and got with, like, this new guy who treats me like a princess. And then my ex just, like, he realized what he did wrong and then became, like, a stalker, crazy obsessed with me. And he also has, like, almost everything I own and, like, also, like, my favorite thing in the world is, like, my teddy bear that I've had since I was, like, a year old that, like, I sleep with. Like, it's, like, my kind of little thing. Mm-hmm. But he, like, this, my question is, like, he won't give me my stuff back until, like, if I get back with him. And, like, he's really suicidal and, like, really depressed. And so, like, I don't know what to do.
How old is,
like,
this guy?
He's 23. Almost 23, and I'm 24.
I am very sensitive to the fact that he's going through emotional troubles, but he can't just hold your stuff for hostage. Call the cops.
Right.
I threatened to do that, and then he's like, oh, well, like, because he's, like, he's Persian and really cocky.
That's right, bro.
And, like, so, like, he's like, oh, well, I'll get a lawyer up, you know?
That's fine.
Like,
what is he going to do? What's the lawyer going to do? I have to represent my client who held Jessica's stuff because he's a dick. I mean, let him get a lawyer.
And, by the way, you can't threaten suicide.
He always, like, cries wolf, and, like, yeah, and then he's like, oh, and, like, he tried to, like, reel me in. Like, I've been, like, he's manipulated me, and for the past, like, 5 months, and, like, I've been with this amazing person, but I've still had to, like, deal with him and, like, go and, like, he's, like,
Jessica.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to bring the force of God to bear. However you need to do that, whether you have a bunch of big brothers that are your friend or you want to go in with law enforcement, you go in with the force of God, you get your goods. Any suicidal talk on his part, and you immediately call the police and have them take him on a 72-hour hold.
Period. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
Hey, listen to me. You listen to me. No, forget. Stop the talking. Stop it. You do exactly what we're saying. No talking. You just do it swift and sure. Not because you're a bad person, because you're a good person. It's going to help him and put an end to all this. In the meantime, he's stewing and stalking and really unraveling. It's not good for him. So you're going to terminate your relationship with him. You're going to get your belongings, and you're going to put him in a psychiatric hospital if that's where he needs to be, because that's what he needs. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
No more.
That's
no other contact.
Yeah.
What are you afraid
of?
Wait.
Well, no.
There's nothing to be afraid of. If he goes to psychiatric hospital, it's because that's where he should be, in the care of a team that can help him. That's it.
Yeah, because, like, he thought, like, he thinks, like, I'm God, and I'm the only one that can, like, help him.
It sounds really scary and hot.
It's a very unnecessary pressure that you shouldn't have to deal with.
No. It's more than unnecessary. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
You're not responsible. Yeah. You can't be. You're not equipped to handle this. It's not good for him. It's not good for you. And it gets dangerous fast for both of you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that suck if that's how God sounded?
Yeah.
We're all good. When we pass away and we're lucky enough to go to heaven and we just meet God, he's like, I met him and I remember when you were a little boy and I was watching you masturbate and that's a sin. Yeah. Like God talks like a Kardashian. Like
Jed the Fish?
Right, like
Courtney
Kardashian.
Or Kim. It's 106.7 KRQ. Welcome to heaven. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to give us a call here in the Loveline Studios. Emily Morse is here from sexwithemily.com. Dr. Drew is here, of course. I am Michael D. Catherwood. Later tonight, we want to talk about sexual fantasies or sexual practices that sound great on paper but are terrible in practice. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We're going to talk about another young man who feels like his libido has gone straight down the toilet. That's next on Loveline.
I'm Emily from sexwithemily.com. Have you ever heard of a massage candle? It's a regular candle that instantly turns into massage oil. Why do you need one? Massage gets your partner in the mood, and the warm, luxurious oil feels amazing when you pour it on. It's your secret weapon in the bedroom. If you want to spice things up, get your partner in the mood, and have incredible sex. I created these candles so you can have the best sex of your life. Go to emilyandtony.com, use code EMILY for 20% off. That's emilyandtony.com, coupon code EMILY.
This is Loveline.
It's a groovy way of relaxing.
Sit tight. Loveline's coming back.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Mike.
I pretty much, I never bought anything online in my life until I met my wife.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
And now all I do is go to Amazon.
I buy pretty much everything on Amazon. And if you want to support somebody that has an affiliate relationship with Amazon, you go to their website, you click through the Amazon banner, and at zero cost to you, Amazon shares some of the purchase price with the affiliate.
Why are you being so nice about it and saying somebody with an affiliate relationship?
You're right, Mike. I should be more specific. Forget an affiliate, some vague affiliate. Let's go to Podcast One, where you can find the Loveline podcast, the Loveline page. Bookmark that page and just click through on the Amazon banner located at the top of the homepage. You can even use the Amazon banner if you're in Canada or the UK. It makes it easy for all future purchases. Again, it is podcastone.com. Click on the Keep It Free banner to support Amazon and all the wonderful sponsors that make the show possible.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call here in the Loveline Studios if you have a question or concern. Dr. Drew's here for you. Emily Morse joins us this evening from Sex
with
Emily.
We're having quite a conversation here, too.
Yeah, you sure are.
Yeah, we are.
It didn't even stop it when
it's
we got
orgasms.
In the air. Yeah. Hello, Stevie.
Mike, Drew, Emily, how you doing?
Can I ask a quick question, Stevie?
Yeah.
At what, like, I mean, you must be kind of like a different type of fella because you're 21 years old. I would think that you'd change over to Steve by now.
I think Stewie will still be called Stewie at 21.
Well,
Stewie's a cartoon.
A name back when I was really young, and then I still hang out with a lot of the friends that I grew up with in elementary school, so mm-hmm. it's a name that's just kind of stuck. I haven't really gotten rid of it. I'm Stevie to everybody except for my work buds.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just run right into it. I pretty much have zero sex drive right now. All throughout high school and my first year of college, I slept around a little too much, I think. I was with a girl, it seemed like a different girl, like every 2-3 weeks or so. My sophomore year of college, I started dating this girl, and about halfway through our relationship, I just wasn't really feeling it anymore. I kind of had to just force myself through the sex, just kind of had to power through it, and I thought that I just wasn't really attracted to her anymore. It ended up breaking up because of it. And now I just nothing at all. I have zero sex drive. I can masturbate like 3 or 4 times a week, no problem. But when it comes to just like the act of sex, I can't bring myself to do it, and I don't know why.
So no, but you have a sex drive, just no desire to be with a human.
Yeah, basically.
Are you porn addicted or anything you're consumed by?
I don't feel like I'm addicted. I watch porn like maybe once a week or
so. Okay. And when you masturbate, is it normal? Normal experience?
Yeah, it's a normal masturbation. I mean, nothing really
different. Well, listen, first order of business whenever there's a marked change in a young male's sex drive is rule out medical problems. And that's number one. Whether it's a drop in your testosterone levels, things like hypothyroidism, prolactin screen tumors in the pituitary gland, these kinds of things are common and they can shut down your sex drive. So there may be something that's just keeping the motivation from being the normal, though you still have some sex drive, it's not a normal motivation for someone your age. So you need to get a medical evaluation first. The next question is, are you on medication, doing drugs, overweight, anything of that nature?
No, nothing like that.
No meds.
I mean, I'd kind of pride myself on how I look. I'd go to the gym 6 days out of the week.
No medication?
Other than like ibuprofen, no.
How much of that are you taking?
I have chronic migraines, so I take maybe 4 pills every day.
How do you know you have chronic migraine?
It was diagnosed when I was really young.
Okay.
And you don't take any like Klonopin or anything for that?
No, they prescribed me Vicodin back when I was younger. My mom didn't like that, so I just stick with like the little 200 milligram ibuprofen.
Well, first of all, thanks for your mom. Secondly, did they do an MRI of your head?
Don't believe so.
Okay, well, that needs to be done now. There can be things that, like craniopharyngiomas and things that get going early in life that cause headache and can cause pituitary changes. You need to get a proper evaluation. You've not been properly evaluated. And by the way, you're taking way too much ibuprofen. That's terrible for your kidneys, terrible for your stomach. So you need to get that properly. That's where you start your workup, right there. Okay?
Okay, cool.
All right, go get it checked out. Let us know what it turns out to be.
Thank you for the call. Our open forum's almost upon us, so give us calls about sexual practices that look great on paper but aren't necessarily that great in reality.
Turned out bad, yeah.
Hello, Ellie.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Question. Me and my boyfriend are like 12 years apart in age. I just moved in with him probably almost like 1 year ago in March. And we're having lots of issues. He's having sexual performing issues. He's become really lazy. He's gotten really overweight. And I can't help to think that I'm not going to have these issues if I were with somebody my age.
And how old is he?
36.
He's about to be 37.
Oh, stop it. It's not his age. He's just a lazy fat guy.
I'm thinking maybe because he got lazy, because he moved really far. He used to live in Orange County, and I made him move to Burbank. Why didn't make
Oh, my God.
An hour away.
How could he deal with the drastic shift?
No, but it changed a lot of his life. Like, he doesn't see any of his friends anymore.
I was
Hey, Ellie.
Ellie, he's a grown man.
He's 36 years old. Stop it.
Well, I'm 24, and I still feel like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's the age difference.
No,
like,
just stop it. Quit saying that just because that's what you believe.
Well, I'll tell you what the age difference could be is that he's not a normal 37-year-old.
Well, no, that's what I meant. Like, don't blame. You quit making excuses for him and then putting it on the age.
The differential.
The truth of the matter is the only thing that his age should explain is that it should have no value whether or not he lives 50 miles from his hometown. Yeah. It should mean nothing that he doesn't see his friends. He's a 36-year-old grown man. 36. I'm going to be 36 in a month.
But do you think our age difference makes it? Sometimes I feel like I really like want to go out.
No. Hey, quit saying that. You know what makes the age difference a problem is that you're dumb for a 24-year-old, and you just keep repeating yourself. He's a fat, lazy guy, and he's a fat, lazy guy if he was 24 or 34. What?
How long have you guys been together that you moved in together and you're 12 years apart?
We moved in the first, probably like within a 5-month period.
Okay. I mean, you're 24. I think that's too soon. I do think an age difference could have something to do with it, but I also think you moved in way too soon. You're 24. Why do you have to live together?
Well, I had gone pregnant at the time, and then I had a miscarriage, so that had something to do with it. And
okay.
We kind of felt as if we had to move in together. I don't know. We
okay, so now you don't.
We're like, we should have moved a little bit slower, but because that happened, that kind of like pushed it forward.
Okay, well, you've got some insight there. That's actually accurate and true. What does he do for a living?
He works, but he does a lot of driving for like commercial AC and heating, like.
So PVAC guy, that's what they call it. Tin knocker, as Adam would say.
And then I wasn't working for a while, and I just started working, which is kind of helping.
Hang on.
Because it kind of gives me something to do.
Does he drink a lot, smoke a lot of pot?
Yeah, he smokes a lot. And when I first met him, he said that he would have no problem like quitting, and that he's tried really hard to.
Okay.
But I mean,
let me tell you something, Ellie. A 12-year age difference, of course, has an effect on a relationship. It has nothing to do with him being a fat, lazy guy.
Stoner.
He likes to smoke weed and not move his body and eat.
If he were 21, it would be the exact same situation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need to understand. If he was 66 and you're like, keeps gaining weight and I just can't motivate him to do so, I'd be like, all right, I'll take it. It seems to be he's my age.
He
smokes weed all day and is fat. Like, don't keep going back to, I think it's because he moved away, doesn't see his friends. No, he's that guy.
Yeah.
He would be that guy if he lived in his friend's home.
Or if he were 21.
Yeah.
Same. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Now, you guys just got to really, like, listen, this isn't all you. I'm not trying to come down on you. I just wanted to kind of hammer that point home.
Be realistic
you,
about it.
But you got, yeah, you both yeah. need to take a wake up. Like, you need to take some like, a wake up call and really realize, like, you're not 14-year-olds anymore. You almost made a baby. Well, you did make a baby, and you now you're living together. And it's just, like, it's time to snap out of it. You can't just, like, you know, him with his...
I think it takes a lot of, like, me getting used to it. Especially because, like, he was with someone for, like, 10 years, and I can't get it out of my head that this is the first time, like, I'm living with someone, and I don't feel like... I don't know. Like, it's not genuine from, like, I don't know why I keep thinking that. I don't think it's my age or what it is, but I feel like, for me, it's like, I keep thinking, like, okay, well, you've done this before because you're so much...
No, you're right. You're probably... Listen to your instincts. If you feel like this isn't working out, don't stay in the relationship just because you're living together.
You're not going to fix him, and you're not going to get him to quit unless he wants to.
All right, it's time for the open forum.
Yes.
Sex acts that look good on paper but aren't necessarily great in reality. I think a good open forum. And I've got some ideas of my own. So
me too. Can't wait.
Emily Morse is here from sexwithemily.com. Give us a call. 1-800-LOVE-191 is, in fact, the number. Sex practices that look good on paper but aren't great in reality. That is our open forum topic right now on Loveline.
It's time for you to give us your opinions and insight.
Mother has old-fashioned ideas.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Here's tonight's open forum.
That's right. It is time for the open forum. I want to know, what is a sex act that looks great on paper, but is not probably good in reality? Emily Morris is here from sexwithemily.com and the Sex with Emily podcast. Emily, do you have any ideas of your own?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I feel really, really strongly about this.
Okay.
69. 69 might look good. We can both please each other. But you know what? I either want to be giving or receiving. Mm. I cannot focus on both at once. Like, I want to be really good at, like, the giving. But it just, it doesn't feel as good.
I think that's more of a women thing.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. Men, that doesn't even occur to us.
Well, and also, we're on the bottom.
What?
Makes it a lot easier for us because it's like you get a great angle for a guy to provide grade A cunnilingus.
Right. But aren't you split between like I want to please her and that feels so good? No. You just keep moving your tongue. I just go like,
this is awesome. It's a lot more convenient angle and I'm also getting a blowjob. Right. So this is awesome.
Okay. I mean, it's just my opinion I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get distracted. I'm giving or receiving. What am I doing? You know, I want to do one or the other.
Almost all women say the same thing.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
So, yeah. But everyone wants to do it. You know, it's like, it's a good variation. I mean, it's good times, but I personally not
I'm a big fan, but only because I said, like I said, I think it gives you a better kind of clitoral angle when you're providing that love.
You just sit on your face.
I agree. Right. And sometimes I say that, you know, when a girl will say, not anymore, but in my single days, a girl would say, you know, I'm not into that because I can't focus on one thing. I say, well, then just sit there. Don't worry about it. Providing.
Right. I'm always like, I can't make it
an L instead of a 69.
Right.
But that's a good one, though. That's a perfect one to throw out. It's a perfect example. Hello, Kitty.
Hi.
What up?
Hey, guys. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Okay, so this is a little weird, but I get off on the idea of my boyfriend being with another girl and me just watching.
Yeah.
So on paper, that sounds good. Now, have you ever done
that? Yeah, I feel like, and I actually get off on it. Like, I've looked this up online, and it's like the opposite of a cuckold.
Right, it's a cuckolding.
Like, girl.
Right.
Yeah, what is it? Is there a name for that? Because there's the cuckold.
Yeah, it's a cuckqueen or something.
Cuckqueen. That's awesome.
Someone out there's thinking.
Yeah, Kitty, I think that's a great example. It
but
might be.
I feel like I would maybe afterwards be like.
Oh, come on, Kitty.
Oh yeah, but no, it's funny because you always hear about the cuckolding, but you don't
hear about it. Kitty. Yeah, it's true.
That's a good one.
Cuckqueen is pretty sweet.
Yeah,
but wouldn't it be, if it's the opposite of cuckold,
it's the first part.
Wouldn't it be cuckold? Wouldn't it be cuck new?
No, it would be more like...
cuck young? Cuck old, cuck young?
Cuck old, cuck
yeah, I'm just
I
thinking. Yeah.
Hold on.
Anyway. Oh, God. That's Mike's radio show.
Hello, Lauren.
During the day.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hey. So I think my boyfriend and I do this every year. We have sex every day for the first month of the year, but by the end of it, it's awful.
What is that now? I didn't get it.
We have sex every day for 1 month.
Oh, yeah. People get tired trying to do that sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It starts out great, and it's kind of fun, and then about the third week, it just deteriorates.
Right. Do you start fighting?
Not really. There's a little bit of I'm into it today and you're not, but it never turns into a real fight.
But good on,
probably
good on paper.
A good thing. Yeah, good on paper,
I guess.
It's
good to try to do this, right?
Especially if you're not having sex and you want to kickstart your sex life. And...
Oh, no, we have very frequent sex. It's kind of just
good.
A more fun thing.
Okay.
There you go. I mean, I think that is a great example, too, because, like, you could... God damn it, this microphone. Mm. You could read about that in some dumb women's magazine. But then when you actually do it, anytime you're actually suffering through sex just for the sake of doing it, it kind of defeats the purpose, you know?
Yeah.
Like fertility?
Yeah. I mean, like, there obviously is a different reason there, but it just takes the sex out of sex. Then it becomes like Mitt Romney sex. You know what I mean? It's like, well, we're doing it for
sex. Well, we talked about this on your HLN show about the couples who were like, I did it every day for a year, remember?
Yep.
Because it did improve their sex life, and it actually... Did.
Yeah, it did.
It seemed to that couple
it to,
for
yeah.
that couple, but then
okay,
also
I got a question for that couple. What is and I'm listen, more sex equaling better sex and a better relationship. Good for them. I'm not clowning them, but like, what do they do for a living? Like, I can't.
They have kids, a whole busy life.
Then my hat's off to them because I'm a pretty healthy dude.
They just throw down quickly. They get more
efficient. Is that it? Because, like, my wife and I, who both work, and we have we only have one kid, and you're just saying these people are new. I just can't imagine being able to have sex every day. I just can't.
Not Mike, now with an infant.
What about this? This is even worse when you think about it. Every healthy couple, they get into pretty good fights, right? Every now and again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they got in some fights that year. And still bared down and hated each other at the moment, but they still did it.
It's like Jordan and Pippen, you know, because there was always those rumors that towards the end they didn't really like each other at all. Like, in fact, there was like, but once they got on the court, figured out a way to make it work. Hello, Renee.
Hey.
Sex acts that sound good on paper but aren't really good in practice.
Okay, so my husband and I have tried a standing up 69.
Mm-hmm.
We dance a lot, and so I know he can support me, but you get this really terrible head rush, and it's just awful.
He's like holding you by your feet, like.
No, it's more upside down.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
God. Ouch.
I'm upside down Dizzy. On him, and like.
That sounds
awful. It
doesn't
last nearly long enough that like you can actually get through it.
So I have to point out though that looks good on paper for you, but it doesn't look good on paper for most people because like. I would immediately think to myself, I was like, I don't know if this is safe for my wife and I to be flipping upside down.
Right. You get turned on.
Renee's
he
in
drops
Cirque
you on
Soleil,
the head of your
so
head.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But the standing 69, it does look, but then, like, especially if the woman's being held upside down instead of the man, then the vagina's kind of gravity's taking the vagina away from me. Because that defeats my desire to do the 69, is that. You get like this direct vaginal.
Right, exactly.
Mike's lazy, see.
No, it's not that. It's not like it's such a demand to go down on a girl in a normal position where she lies on her back. I feel like it actually is a better angle. It's like a more advantageous angle to focus on the clitoris, you know. But maybe I'm wrong.
I'm like short, like if you held me, I don't know how I'd reach, like I don't know.
Well, I'd knock you out. Hello.
Of course you would. Maybe I'll have sex with Mike. Yeah.
Hello, Vanessa.
Hi.
Whoa.
What's going on?
Hey. Yeah, it's me. Hi.
Yes.
Somebody's whispering to her.
Yes. You talk now.
Oh, my God.
Now I have to talk to Vanessa.
Yeah. We're going to have to wait a while.
For those of you who are listening online, enjoy this time where we just kind of kill time. For those of you listening to the radio, I apologize. It's Vanessa's potty mouth that makes this radio show sound like
her
a CD skipping.
Her open volley is, oh, my effing God. Yeah. The F was fully articulated.
Vanessa, what the hell is wrong with you? But what on earth made you think to go to Oh My Effing God?
Like, I really can't believe I'm talking to you. Like, I love Loveline so much. I have been listening to Loveline since I was 12 years old. I'm 20 years old now. Like, I am a little in shock, but...
Do you like Rudy?
No, I'm just not going to waste your time. I'm going to get right to the point because I know how y'all get. But,
mm-hmm.
So I was like... I was on like a washing machine one time. And it just, like, was
can
not-
you turn her up or something? Or is can you talk into the
are you
radio?
Underwater?
We can barely hear you. We can't hear you.
Huh?
Oh, my God. Thank you. Much better.
Why would you have the phone nine light years away from your mouth?
No, I'm sorry. Because I was on speaker trying to, like, text some people to tell them to listen to me right now. But never mind.
Uh-huh. You can send in the podcast tomorrow.
What?
Sunday. God.
Go ahead. Nothing.
Go ahead, okay. Vanessa. We love you, too.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, like, I was, like, at his house, and then it was, like, the it was, like, on, and it was making so much noise, and it was just, like, not fun at all, and she was just, like, totally into it, and I was, like, not at
How many
all.
Times is she going to say, like? Let's really wrap our heads around this.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Convert the B-bell.
Sex on a washing machine looked good on paper?
Well, I don't know. I've seen it, like, I've heard
the
of it.
The spin cycle vibrates.
Yeah, it was just, like, really distracting.
But, no, I don't think that was the point of how that's supposed to work. It's supposed to be the woman masturbates on it, like, pushes herself against it.
Yeah, or when you're having sex and if she's sitting on it, it's supposed to, like, you know, make
Yeah, but if she's sitting on it, how can the man access the working areas? You know what I'm saying?
It's not ideal.
And I also agree with Emily, like, the whole 69 thing is a mess. Like, a total mess.
Okay. That's clear enough.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's your eyebrow situation like?
Oh, my God. Thank you, guys. I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
You bet. What's your eyebrow situation?
What that? Why?
Because she sounded like a chola to me.
Oh, got it.
And I could see her drawing her eyebrows on and having very crispy, crunchy hair. And
that's sweet.
Yeah. Hello, Chris.
Hey.
Hi.
What's happening?
What's up? How you guys doing?
We're doing very good. We're talking about sex acts that sound good and look good on paper, but aren't necessarily that great when you do them.
Okay, I'm going to say the rim job. And now, on paper, it seems cool, you know, but when you actually do it, you got to kind of, I mean, I like to be hygienic about it.
Yeah.
So you either have to make sure that she's showered recently or hasn't, you know, hasn't recently.
Right. No, we get it. Yes, we all understand exactly what you're talking about.
You could enema.
So, you know, you kind of want to be spontaneous about it, but you also don't want to get, you know, dookie in your mouth, even small trace amounts of it.
No, you're right.
So I
am a big fan of the rim job. Giving and receiving.
Even small trace.
Yeah, no, Chris is very good. Chris is a very smart man. But I'm a big fan of the rim job. But I have to say, Chris has a very valid point. It
can go bad.
It's prohibitive because you really got to like look. It kind of sometimes can take you out of the moment because you're like, hey, do you have any baby wipes handy?
Right.
Or can you get in the shower?
Bed, yeah.
What are those wipes called? Those Chuck wipes? Or
yeah, the one buck Chuck or whatever.
Yeah. And so,
one wipe Charlie's, yes.
Now, but I imagine as the receptive partner, it could go bad too if you have concerns.
Right.
Right?
So it's like, good to take a shower is sexy.
Like my misadventure today, Mike.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew, don't do any of that tonight.
No, right.
Well, I think, like, for me as a guy giving, when you're, and I'm a straight male, you know, so I don't know how that goes differently in the gay community but like a girl's area there, it just isn't anywhere near as threatening as her doing it to me.
Yeah, that's true. But it can be. Do you remember that caller who called in, that woman who said that she used her boyfriend's toothbrush to clean?
Yes.
Yes.
What was it against?
So dirty.
I always go back to Red Band. Brian from Red Band, the guy, he's a stand-up. He's a comic. But he's very well known as being one of Rogan's partners on the Joe Rogan Experience. And he told a story about how he was providing that service for a young lady who was on ecstasy. And she wasn't that experienced with being on ecstasy. She was like on like the Molly, like the extreme ecstasy. And she just like she didn't even realize she was pooping. And like, I know.
What was the toothbrush thing?
This is this woman who her boyfriend was like doing some anal sex or something. And then she was like, he's like, dude, you got some crusty stuff going on. And she went in the bathroom, used his roommate's toothbrush to clean it out.
His or hers?
She used his roommate's toothbrush.
To
clean her butt.
Her butt.
And then she threw it in the trash can. And then the next day, her roommate's like, what's up, dude? What'd you do with my toothbrush?
Why'd you do that to my toothbrush?
Why'd you do my toothbrush? So the whole thing was a mess. Yeah.
But
as long as you didn't pull out a trash can and use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Good evening.
Good evening.
Anal. I don't know what this whole fascination is with anal. I'm a 20-year-old guy. I tried it once a couple years ago. It was a disaster. And I've been turned off since, and I don't know what everyone's fascination was.
Well, I think it's taboo.
Bloom is off the rose, Mike. You know, so the delicate chemistry of such a kind act, the bloom easily falls off the rose.
I think that anal, it's for a select group. And
you got to do it right.
Yeah.
Warm them
but
up,
even if
lube.
You do it right, some girls are just never going to like that.
Exactly.
And some guys. I mean, I know plenty of gay males that are just like, I'm oral only. But when like your particular makeup likes it, like you really get stimulated by that, it's pretty awesome.
It's on,
I wouldn't write that off altogether, you know? 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. What is a sex act that looks great on paper but isn't great in practice? That's our open forum right now on Loveline.
Emily from SexWithEmily.com. The Fleshlight, the most popular male sex toy, simulates the sensations of sex. It was engineered to look and feel like the real deal. Many people even think it's better than sex. Not that you'll never want to have sex again. It helps you practice lasting longer and becoming a better lover. Plus, you'll experience some of the most mind-blowing orgasms of your life. Go to SexWithEmily.com/Fleshlight to get your Fleshlight now. That's SexWithEmily.com/Fleshlight.
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number.
I don't disagree with you, though.
I think it's different, though. It's different for different projects. I mean, Drew, do you buy me on that?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, let's discuss that later.
Let's table
tomorrow,
that.
Tomorrow, right now, we're going to talk about. Join us KABC tomorrow. We'll talk.
I'm going to be on your show on KABC tomorrow on AM 12 to 3, which everyone should listen to because you guys have your own 3 hours and they're just going to be Drew and Mike.
Yeah. If you're not in the Los Angeles, Southern California, you can listen to us via the live stream.
That's awesome. I'm so happy. And I'm honored to be a guest tomorrow.
It should be fun. For those of you who don't know, earlier on our other radio show, Dr. Drew crapped his pants.
Right.
That's not a joke. I'm not kidding.
Mike feels like the
and
show is
And then Dr.
Peaked,
Drew
though,
threw
now,
his it... underwear away in the bathroom at the radio station.
I had to christen that station
And
somehow.
Then I went looking for it like a
Did you really?
Like a German
That's
Indiana
so
Jones.
Did you find it?
To be fully honest, I didn't, but Drew told me which trash can it was in the bathroom, so
he
I started pulling through.
Why?
He told me which one it was in, and he told me how he stuck it under a bunch of other paper towels. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go in there. And then I pulled away like two or three paper towels, and I wussed out. I was like, I don't know
Good.
If I want to see
healthy?
This.
I don't think that's healthy. Touch it. You're going to bring in the, oh, God. You got to do something tomorrow, dude.
That was real despair
to
express. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
Hello, Kevin. We're talking about sex acts that sound great on paper but aren't great in practice. Emily Morse joins us from Sex with Emily. Hello, Kevin.
What's going on, man?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike, I don't know you that well, man, but you're going through a trash can looking for his crap.
Yeah, no, that probably wasn't healthy. Right. Kevin, listen, I totally deserve that. You're right.
You got a lot of love for him, man.
Yeah.
I guess written on paper and is not so good in live as coming on your girlfriend's face.
Yeah,
interesting.
I don't disagree. I don't
disagree. Why is that?
It's
a visual thing.
I thought about it, though. I just don't, you know what I mean? I got to lay with it. The one thing, girlfriend, you lay now with the rest of the night, I don't know. I just wasn't about it.
I agree with Kevin completely.
Is it because guys, I thought it was a visual thing. It's kind of hot
it is.
That you're
And it sounds awesome when you watch porn and you see it happen and it like feels powerful. But then when you do it to a real person who lives and breathes and has emotions, I don't know about that.
She didn't let that side. What if she was really into it, though, and she was like, oh, baby, that was so hot.
Well, that's a different story.
Yeah, then I can't really make her a girlfriend.
That's a good point. Kevin's a very smart man. Then you don't really want to bring that girl home to mom, you know? Then,
oh, yeah.
Let's have her take a shower first so she doesn't have, cum to bring from.
But Drew and I were actually talking about this on a serious level yesterday off the air. With producer Ann, we're like, well, where's the? I understand all kind of deviant sexual behavior. You can at least trace it back to some motivation. Where is the what makes a girl just love it when a guy finishes on her face? You know, the girl who's like, please, please, I need that.
I think they probably because they think it's going to turn you on, and then that turns them. It's not like she really wants it, you know.
I know. Well,
in her
but
eyes.
I've
sometimes
met
you can't see and stuff.
Yeah, I've met girls that they're like they at least. Either they're really into pleasing guys, just that's it. They feel like that's all they're good for. Or they're like really into it. Like they really have a sincere internal desire to have you ejaculate there.
Yeah. That'd be a good question to put out to callers. But I think a lot of times it's that they think they watch a lot of porn or they think that's what you want.
Yeah.
So then they're acting that they're into it.
The girl I'm thinking of from my past had at some time in her life worked in adult film. So maybe that's...
That could have
yeah,
to
I mean, but she was way into it. Like...
That's
like
you
every
guy
thought,
thinks every stripper... She really liked me. I didn't have to pay for the last lap dance. She was going home. Yeah.
And maybe I'm just a dummy. And that girl bamboozled me. Hello, Elvis.
Hi, how's it going, guys? Just want to say you guys are awesome.
Thanks, man.
A sexual act that looks good on paper, I like to say, is the scissors position. It is not good at all.
Now, are you referring to the one that lesbians would do, or like a straight man woman sex act?
A straight man woman sex act.
So you kind of do the scissors, but you also push your wiener downward and put it in.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable for the male.
Yeah, that doesn't seem good on paper at all. That looks horrible on paper.
Yeah, it's very horrible.
Okay, well then you didn't get this at all. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, I'm going to say the same thing, scissoring.
But you're a young lady. Girl. Yeah, you're a young lady who's a lesbian. Okay. Now,
I don't know how that worked out. I've never even heard of it between two guys. That's cool.
No, a guy and a girl.
I mean, a guy and a girl.
I think he means dry humping, really.
No, because I think he was referring to when a guy does it, where he pushes his boner literally straight down.
Ouch.
And then, but that doesn't seem like at all pleasing.
Weird.
Okay. Mm-mm. So wait, but Jesse, I always assumed that that was like one of the better positions for lesbian girls.
Oh no, everyone thinks that that's like a lesbian staple, but I've never met a lesbian who's ever been like, oh yeah, totally. We always scissor.
It just happens in South Park.
If you even imagine the position, by the time you get in the position, both of us are just looking at each other like, hey, what's up? This isn't even working.
Right, that's funny. Position, should debunk this myth,
it's a
right?
A lot of planning, and it's a really awkward position. I don't know.
Well, is there other positions that are better for like the vagina on vagina contact?
69 actually works better just for that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that really I also would assume is like really good for women. Because,
yeah, it's like cool.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Yep.
And when she said it's a lesbian staple, I was thinking of like a metal staple with like flannel and work boots on.
Right. We scissor.
Hello, Chester.
Hello. Yeah.
Talking about sex acts that sound good on paper but aren't good in reality.
Yes.
What do you what would you like to offer up?
I was having doggy style sex for the first time, and I used too much lubricant. It was spread all over her back, and while I was attempting to slide in, I slid right over the top of her, and I hit the wooden thing on the back of bed.
Okay, but that's not at all the topic. That's you being very dumb
or clumsy.
What?
Yeah, well, we're talking about sex acts that look good on paper and are not good in practice. You
exactly,
totally.
But that's what I'm talking.
No, no. What you're talking about is you absolutely failing at doing a very basic sex act.
No. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, no. I totally failed at doing it. I have no qualms about admitting that.
I understand. But we're saying things that sound great or look great when you think about them.
And
but
you
then when,
do,
you do them,
when you do them. Effectively.
Yeah, you do them properly.
So,
they are
so
not
cool.
Good. You did something that is good all the way around and just failed at it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Close but no cigar. It's all right.
Next time he's got to cut down on the lube.
Hello, Shane.
How
are you?
Exactly.
Doing great. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Thanks for retweeting my tweet to you for that smart vibrator.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Oh,
I just
you.
Saw that. Yeah.
What is this?
It's a Mr. Shane Porter at Shane87 on Twitter. He just tweeted me the Vibes, world's first wearable smart vibrator.
What does that mean?
It's pretty sweet. I retweeted it. It's
there's a lot of those out there now. How is this one different? Let me see.
Well, because it's like you just like hang out with it in your vag.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It's called a Touch of Modern. It's like this really modern website where they, you know, just a lot of modern sex toys and everything, pictures, art, whatever. But
right.
And it's got its own app and it hooks up.
No,
stuff.
That's the whole trend. I just came from a bunch of sex shows and there's a lot of them right now. Oh, my bod makes them where you operate it by Bluetooth or your watch. You could be in a different room or a different country and your partner could be wearing the vibrator and you're controlling the vibrations.
That, see,
this is what
by Wi-Fi.
All the sex by Wi-Fi. Yeah.
All right, well, Shane, what do you think about sex acts that look good on paper but don't really pan out?
Girl swallowing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, wait, okay, why? Why?
I just, you know, especially, I'm just not a fan of it. I just don't want to be, I'm not a fan, kind of like on the same tip of busting on your girl's face. I'm not a fan of that either.
Because you think she doesn't want to or it doesn't feel good to you?
Both.
They actually worry that they're being disrespectful or putting somebody through something they don't want.
It doesn't feel right to me. Yeah.
My take is that it kind of falls back into the category of rim jobs for me, is that I like doing it and I'm into it, but then you're always kind of – there's always this other stuff that comes along with it. Like if you do finish in a girl's mouth and she's going to swallow, then you're like, well, am I going to kiss her? Or then you're – you know, if it's like someone you really care about, then she – gets up and maybe goes brushes her teeth and guards.
Right.
And then like that kind of kills the moment, you know? So although I like the idea of the swallowing and I'm fine with it, It's like it's prohibitive in a way, you know.
Okay, but I want to know from a guy, like, does it feel better if they is it or is this more variety? Like sometimes you want it not in their mouth, and sometimes you want to do it, you know, in her mouth.
I'd rather not, to be honest with you.
Okay,
maybe be just because of, you know, I just like going hard, and you know you can only go so hard on a blowjob, you know, depending on. You know, the girl.
I just always thought that was like you have to. Like I was, when I was brought up.
Thank you, Shane.
My mom always told me.
My mom always said you have to swallow to be a good girl.
I do feel like we've had this conversation too, which is different. Where I said, don't make it seem like it's such a big deal that you do that, ladies. Like it's not. It's not to swallow.
It's just don't break stride.
But I feel like if both people involved can agree that you, that's not an issue, like the gargling or brushing your teeth right after, go ahead and not do it. Because, again, I'd rather just stay in bed with you than have to, like, break stride and then go.
But then it's messy and then it's all over the place,
yeah,
too.
But that I'm definitely not fine with.
Okay.
And I think most guys are, too. Like,
I thought it felt better, mostly, if it just, like, then you're just finishing one place and it's not like...
I'm from the school of a load's a load. Like, whether it flies away...
And you're not insulted, then, if a woman, like... doesn't, because I feel like
no, if she doesn't, I'm fine with it. I just don't want her to then make it seem like I put her through the Spanish Inquisition, you know, because she was going to potentially do it. Yeah,
it's like, oh
wow, it's your birthday. Don't expect me to do this all the time. Right. And it's like, stop it. You just swallowed.
Got it. I've always been curious about this.
1-800.
I hear many things about it.
Yeah. Hey, it's if a girl truly doesn't mind, you know, I don't want to. Like talk to out of school here. My wife.
You want to convince legions?
No, no, no.
Of
but my wife seriously does not care about swallow. It doesn't seem to bother her one bit. You know, then fine, because it is. It's cleaner. It's quicker. But if it is an issue, then I'd rather just not do it because, like I said, a chick getting up and then going and brushing your teeth or going and gargling.
But guys appreciate the commitment and the enthusiasm.
I like a girl being thorough.
Yeah. They appreciate that you're doing this for the guy.
Okay. Because I really didn't even know there was an option not to. I thought you had to.
No.
I was like a perfectionist. And then I was like, one of my first sex loving podcasts, my friend was like, really? Like, no.
Bless
not
you.
All the time. He's like, it's so intimate when a woman does it. I don't actually want every woman to do that. And open my eyes.
Yeah.
That's how I was brought up. You learn that in school.
I get, and I'm also very out of touch with any sex act when it's happening. Like, I can look back on it years later and be like, oh, that was so intimate or loving how she did. But while it's happening, I'm so gone. I'm so detached. Right. So I may not be the best guy to ask. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It is Loveline.
I'm Emily from SexWithEmily.com. Keep your intimate areas dry, fresh, clean, and ready for action with Down Under Comfort. Yes, I'm talking about your balls. A cream formula that turns into a powder. Go to EmilyandTony.com. Use code Emily for 20% off. That's EmilyandTony.com.
This is Loveline.
Loveline.
The neat way to dispel the problems of the day for a little while.
Don't worry, we'll be back.
Everybody, it's Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Go ahead, give us a ring if you have a question or a concern. Emily Morris from Sex with Emily, the podcast, the website. She joins us this evening at Sex with Emily on Twitter and Instagram. Hello, Megan. You have a very good question. I'm excited to hear Dr. Drew break it down.
Oh, good. Okay. I've been anxious to talk to you guys all night. So I just had a colposcopy today.
Uh-huh.
Because I had an abnormal pap, and so there was nothing that looked cancerous,
great,
per se, but I do have what's called high-risk HPV,
mm-hmm.
And I was in a relatively foggy state when she told me this, just because it was shocking and upsetting, and I never have had an STD before, so of course, you know, now I have a million questions, and so... First, like, what is high-risk HPV?
That's a great question because I don't even know what's
going on. Well, I'm not sure exactly what she's referring to, except that I'm imagining it's the subtype that is associated with certain kinds of cervical dysplasia and cervical cancer.
Okay.
So, you know, this is the one you need to get vaccinated against. This is why you take the vaccine, to prevent this particular type of HPV. And it's going to require careful monitoring. And with careful monitoring and probably some little procedures here and there, you'll be fine.
Okay. That's interesting. I had the vaccine when I was 18.
Well, you should be. Did you? Which one did you have? Which vaccine?
I don't know. It was a three-shot series.
All right. Was it is Gardasil or was it the other one? Cervarix.
That sounds right, but okay. I'm not sure.
Well, you should be pretty well protected against the serious ones, so that's the good news. Did your gynecologist know that you've had that vaccine?
She asked me, and I told her.
Okay. All right. So you should be in pretty good shape.
Okay.
But you just got to, you know, diligently follow up on this.
Okay. So I guess now my next question is, you know, I just slept with somebody a few weeks ago. You know, what's the likelihood that I, A, transmitted it from him, or B, gave it to him if he didn't give it to me, and do I need to tell him?
I would discuss with him, because if he didn't have it, it's 100% pretty much you gave it to him. Was he wearing a condom?
Yes.
Well.
Oh.
Then it's not that likely, but... you know, that it's a dicey one.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, shift till ever.
I think you should. I think that's the right thing to do. And just to tell him, hey, have you had the vaccine? And make sure he goes and gets it. I think that's the important thing.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. And I'm sorry, one more question. So obviously I need to tell just about every partner, not that there are many, but, you know, every partner from here on out until how long?
Well, again, these are questions. This is probably why it's all confusing to you, because there aren't hard and fast rules to this. Significant percentage of the viruses, the HPV viruses in your age group, will remit on their own within about 5 years. Now, I don't know if you
five
have...
5 years?
Yeah, it takes a while. But but 50% of the people you know have this. 50%. Right? Mm-hmm. You understand that?
Okay.
Do you understand that?
No.
Okay, 50% of the people walking around your age have HPV. Now, again, I'm a little unclear about the type she's referring, particularly since you've had the vaccine, so I'm not sure precisely what she's referring to. Did she give you any other treatment afterwards, other than the colposcopy?
There really isn't any treatment. She said, I don't have the kind that has warts associated with it, but that's all really that she
Maybe
could
go
tell me.
Back now that you said you're kind of in a fog when
and,
she was
and
telling
ask
you. Go
more
back
questions.
Ask some questions.
Yeah.
Make a list. Sometimes when you're in the room, you're not thinking about it, but go back and ask.
Are you
going to
have another colposcopy in 6 months?
Yes.
Okay. And then that may be the end of it.
Hopefully.
Yeah. The good news is you're going to be fine. Yeah. The hassle is about how you manage partners and things. And, boy, everybody has that damn HPV. So you really shouldn't feel dirty or bad or guilty about it. But the right thing to do is to advise your partners. And certainly wear a condom. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you
for
the call, Megan.
There was some data even that using Eldera cream. There's all kinds of goofy stuff out there people are doing to try to prevent the transmission.
Let's talk to Vanessa.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi. Okay. So, by the way, I'm not a chola. Okay. And second of all, I have a question about just my sex drive. Like, it's out of control.
Wait, are you the girl who had called about sex on a washing machine?
Yes. It's out of control. I don't know
why
how
she sound
far
different?
I have to go to feel fully really that pulsing vagina
every dumb caller says a lot.
Hold on,
but
I wonder
Vanessa's
what
next level.
I wonder what she's talking about. What's that, Vanessa?
I feel my sex I just fantasize a lot, and I'm just I always have I guess high expectations when I do finally sleep with a guy, or a girl, or because I have I'm also bisexual, and I don't know, I'm just really unsatisfied with a lot of I feel like I've just been having a lot of lousy sex, I guess. And I feel I'm taking it upon myself. Even I went to go buy a vibrator. I bought Benoit balls. Those are pretty cool, but I just don't know what I don't know what else I should do.
Stop saying that
stop
will help.
Saying Maybe. What is disappointing you? Can you give an example of what's disappointing you about the sex? Why is it bad?
Okay, sorry.
I'm trying to say
So this guy
Mike's
seeing,
gonna
I guess,
freak out.
He, usually finishes first, and I kind of am just
That's
there.
He's young. So you're 20. You sleeping with 20-year-olds?
Well, he's
24.
Yeah, I mean, guys, okay, that is bad sex. Guys should, you know, she comes first. It's a popular
always.
Book. Yeah, no, I mean,
always.
Right, they take care of
and
you.
And why don't you say, let's keep going?
Well, because I don't want to, like, hurt his feelings.
No,
stop
it.
Thing.
Stop
You'll help
that.
Him for legions of women.
Stop it.
And he just, like, stays there with this, like, face, and I just don't know how to, like, say that and, like, him still be into it and me tell him that. Come on. Like,
but you're not into it, so you've got nothing to lose. You got to say, babe, that felt really, like, I like having sex with you, but God, I really was so turned on. I was almost there. What can we do? Like,
just keep going.
Keep going. Rip out your vibrator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's there. I put those, like, Ben Wah balls in there. And it's just, like, I mean, I also am really, like, curious. Like, I have a lot of, like, fantasies about, like, I guess you can say, like, kind of, like, cause, like, I don't know how to say it. Like, I guess dominatrix kind of crap.
Right.
And, like,
you want to dominate
really...
a guy?
Listen, hey, Vanessa.
What?
You're playing on a different level than this guy. You're just with a chump, and eventually you'll meet someone who understands...
You.
Not you. Just he clearly doesn't even understand what it means to please a woman. And
no, she'll find somebody that does understand
yeah.
him.
Yeah. And I'm saying,
move out from
he's
this
like
guy.
That. And that'll happen. And, you know, I'm not trying to crap on this guy. We were all at that point in our life where it wasn't that we were little bitch made guys. It's that you don't even understand what it means to be a pleasing lover. You don't get it. So just give it some time and don't be in the sexual. Understanding is not a sprint. It is a marathon, and it's a much longer marathon for women than it is for guys.
Why, though?
Okay, well, oh, God, I'm sorry.
That's how you're wired.
Yeah.
It's your biology.
Oh, fine. Okay, thank you. Okay. Thank you again for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm surprised you just let her finish with all those likes. I thought you were
that was next level.
I know.
When I pointed it out, right, you started to notice?
Yeah.
I mean, she was... I mean, unnecessarily, just putting it in there for fun.
She's nervous. She loves. She's been listening to Love Line for 8 since she was 12.
A guy whose name is Avocado for some reason has a boil in his face, and he's called us a couple times, and now he's calling back.
Oh, he's awesome.
Him. Yeah,
yeah, I like him.
We got SSRI questions, some boner questions that are not related, and some lines open for you. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Love Line.
From sexwithemily.com. Want to surprise your love with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Go to adamandeve.com and use coupon code Emily for 50% off plus 3 adult DVDs plus a free gift. Hey, I'll even throw in free shipping. Remember to use coupon code Emily at adamandeve.com.
Richer looking, better tasting, more appetizing.
Sit tight. Love Line's coming back.
Was on your show tonight?
No, I saw Joanna Angel this weekend at one of my sex conferences, and she has a new line out of, you know, whatever, whips and chains, like by Kink Club. And she's like, oh, I want to come back on your show and do that squirting thing with Mike again, squirt his face.
That's what
happened. She's a porn star, and I was like, you are, the door is open for that
yeah.
on the Sex with Emily
I like
show.
How Emily's offering me up again.
Your face.
Yeah. Dude, you said you'd do it.
I would do it. I totally would do it again.
Only offering you up.
Would you wear a snorkel again?
Yeah. Well, that's just gosh darn funny. I don't care what anyone says.
It
I wear
funny.
A snorkel and a swimming mask.
She was
mask.
Like, can we do it? Can we do it? And then she like tweeted me, yeah, you're in. We're all in.
But didn't it fire off the mask?
Oh, she blasted. But it was...
I love that you're still down with it.
That was urine.
Yeah.
Doesn't change. Yeah, maybe she just was like, oh, damn, I'm not going to squirt. I'm just going to pee on him.
In defense of Miss Angel, she was very open about that. She's like, I'm not in the industry. She's an adult actress, and she
right.
actually is very successful,
behind
the scenes. She has
right.
her own company and stuff. She's like, I'm not a traditional squirter. And I go, Well, what does that mean? She means, like, what I mean by that is, although it is coming at the end of an orgasm, it's, I know for a fact it's mostly urine. And I was like, okay, well, we've gotten this far. I'm not turning back, you
right.
know? So.
Okay.
I really don't have a problem with it, to be honest, because I know people think it's gross because it's waste, but...
Well, that's the thing that's
it's
so... Waste.
It's completely sterile.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's sterile. It's not going to kill you. If it turned you on, a few weeks ago before the study came out, it's turned you on. No, who cares?
What's up, Avo?
It's hot. It's hot.
Hey there, Michael.
How'd you get the name Avocado Avo or whatever your name?
Well, it's Avocado Rocker. I was... Drew Garabo gave me that name.
Who is this?
Chubacaba gave him the name?
You referenced him a couple times. Who is Drew Garabo?
Drew Garabo, he's a great broadcaster that's on the bone. He was on how he does the afternoon drive.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
And did you get your...
He's a radio guy.
And Mike Calza does the morning show.
Now, Mike Calza, he used to be Cowhead, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he changed his name. Right. Yeah, okay.
And Mike Calza gave me... recommendation for this doctor.
Did you get it taken care of?
And well, yeah, I went there the other day, and now he wants to have to do a blood test.
Okay.
And it says something about massive parotid gland.
Oh, you have a parotid tumor, so that's going to be probably a mixed cell cancer. Those need to come out.
Oh, it says unspecified disease of the salivary gland.
Yes, so parotid tumors, parotid gland is the main salivary gland in your cheek, you know, in front of your ear. And those tumors are often something called mixed cell cancers, and they need to come out for sure. And it's usually pretty well taken care of when you take them out.
Oh, but then he also wants a CT scan.
I'm sure he wants to stage it and make sure it hasn't spread anywhere, but whatever, you follow through.
Oh, I'm trying, yeah. Well, I'm going to, but I don't know. One radiology wouldn't take my insurance, but I'm trying to. I want this thing off my face, you know?
Yeah, but if it's a cancer, you want it off so we save your life.
Yeah, you might die, dude.
Well, okay, I guess I can at least do a song for you guys.
Perform one?
Well, yeah.
Oh, I mean, please do.
Well, I don't know. I didn't even practice here.
Oh,
well,
no,
we're
don't
all
worry.
In.
Go, don't worry.
Love Line with Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike. Always giving love advice. Late at night. They will always take care of you. The best of the way they can.
Maybe Rudy should do a duet with him.
I think so.
Fantastic. Bravo. Get that tumor taken care of. We'll talk to you after on the other side.
It's a big tumor.
Yeah, but
he sent a picture on Twitter.
I saw it. He's usually successful getting them out, and then we'll talk to him after that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the song, Avo. Hello, Kelly. How about that, Emily, right?
Yeah. That was impressive.
I know.
We should get more of those.
What's up?
Hey.
Kelly,
what's up? How you doing?
Okay, so I'm fine. How are you guys?
Great.
Gangster.
Okay. Well, so this is an awkward situation for me, but here it goes. I've been dating this guy for about a month and a half now, and, well, he gets really hard, and every time we, like, just mess around, it stays hard. But when it comes time to actually do the deed, nothing happens at all. And I'm just left there with, like, palm in my...
Oh, what's wrong with people tonight?
What is wrong with you?
I think that, you know, people get excited.
No.
No, I don't know. People don't remember radio. You know, they don't know.
That's a little... I'm not putting up with his ass anymore. I get that. What's wrong with I'm just stuck with... Like, for instance... What business does she have saying that in life?
Right.
Like, where did she come to the conclusion that that's appropriate?
I don't know, Mike. I think people are nervous. They call in. They just insert.
But you heard foot. What she
yeah,
said.
I did hear what she
that
said.
That was...
Tonight, I know.
Everyone heard what I said.
I know.
She's,
don't.
She's high or something.
No one heard what you said because we had to put you in delay. You dumped.
Yeah.
You ruined the radio show because you have 10 seconds of silence. Because you cussed. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Are you on any drugs tonight?
No, I'm just honestly just really irritated with my boyfriend right now.
I understand. Have you been drinking?
No.
Okay, so you just normally talk like this?
Talk like, I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Slurring a little. Okay.
What's the problem again? He loses his erection.
No penetration. So he has a real emotional problem probably, right?
Yeah, my first thought was, okay, maybe he's just not attracted to me.
No, that's the one thing for sure you can take off your list. That has nothing to do with it.
I took that off. Then the thought maybe, he might be in the closet.
Right.
Or
no,
thanks,
not
Emily.
In the closet.
Thanks, Emily. We love you.
So great to be here.
Good night, everyone.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station.
Loveline.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold. Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
End of message.
The end of a perfect evening.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.